Shalom Yehudim, Shalom Bnei Noach, Shalom Goyim. It's the evening of the second day, Yud Aleph Ba'Adar Beis, Parashas Tzav, Tavshinayim Vav, the evening of the first day, Sunday, 20 March 2016. Webcasting from the land of holiness, island of holiness, surrounded on three sides by an ocean of homicidal maniacs. And it's not just us that they target. I mean, not only are our neighbors forever trying to murder us, it's a drop in the bucket, our blood, compared to their endless fratricide, the killing of one another in tremendous numbers. In the 1970s, the Lebanese had a so-called civil war within themselves and battles with the PLO between 1975 and 1989, 15 years. 150,000 Lebanese were killed in that tiny country, killed by fellow Arabs. In the 1990s, some 200,000 Algerians killed one another, and often in gruesome terrorist atrocities. And of course, over the last half decade in Syria. The estimate is now up to 500,000 dead, in addition to the millions of homeless refugees. They periodically kill each other as well in Yemen, north versus south, and even within these regions. 20 years ago, I was with a group that paid visits to Yemen to help the Jews. And not only to negotiate, we had not only to negotiate with the government in Sana'a, the capital, but the tribes in the north with the sheikhs, who saw themselves independent of Sana'a. The Arabs are a tribal people still. The states of Lebanon, Iraq, Syria, Jordan, are all created from the outside, not the inside, basically imposed on them from above by France and the UK. And now, two generations later, of course they have come apart in terrible bloodshed. The Middle East has become a coliseum of blood in Syria and Iraq. Syrians fighting Syrians, Sunni Iraqis and Shiite Iraqis are no more united today than they ever were. And then there's the nightmare of the ISIS monsters with their capturing of women, just like Muhammad in the 7th century, raping them, enslaving them, chopping off heads, because that is what it says in the infallible Quran. If chopping off heads was good enough for him, and really praiseworthy for the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, then it's good enough for Muslims today. Islam is the great menace of our time, the successor to crusading communism and crusading Nazism, all three of them totalitarian systems of hate, haters of freedom. Islam means submission, and all together, all three have been haters of Jews, the communists, the Nazis, and the Muslims. So let's count our blessings that the current wave of Hamitic violence here is really as low grade as it has been. I mean, over the last 2 days, only 3 Jew-killing attempts. We survived them with minor injuries, but none of them did. In Hebron yesterday, a 17-year-old Ishmael clone stabbed, not too seriously, I think, a soldier in the face but near the gate of the patriarchs of the Jewish people, but he and other soldiers put him back, and when he tried to strike again, they shot him dead. On Friday, the ever-popular Killing the Jew ground at the Gush Etzion intersection that has a big traffic circle, a vehicle with 2 Arabians inside drove up onto the circle where I think some soldiers were gathered. And one Arab jumped out of the car with a knife, but the others shot him dead. In the tribal land of Benjamin as well, at the Shaul Binyamin Business Industrial Zone, as it's called, 2 female Ishmaelites are suspected and detained and searched, and what do you know, they were carrying 2 knives. We should count our blessings with such news reports, and especially when compared to the terror bombing in Istanbul yesterday. 3 dead Israeli tourists on a culinary vacation, meaning yesterday, Shabbos, they were non-observant Jews, and kashrut meant nothing to them, and they were hit by an ISIS suicide bomber. Not clear if he knew they were Jews or did not. No matter, ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Al-Nusrat, Hamas, Hezbollah, they're all the same. These Muslim groups have multiplied like mushrooms after a rain, like the PLO terror cells multiplied in the 1970s. And that's because the Arabs remain largely tribal and anarchic. This is their preferred way of fighting, and the reasons for that are never lacking. Turkey is getting hit in again by brother Muslims, who, as a people, these Muslims seem addicted to fratricide. The explosion yesterday in that central shopping district that killed the 3 Israelis also wounded 4 more others. Israel dispatched medical teams to Turkey to bring the dead and the survivors back home for treatment. But what got my attention today was far less covered massacre the same day and much larger in Sinai at the coastal town of El Arish, not far from the southern end of the Gaza Strip. There at a security checkpoint, as the newspapers reported it, remember that expression, security checkpoint, according to Reuters, 13 policemen died when a mortar launched by the ISIS cultists landed amidst their gathering. And what were they doing at that security checkpoint? By the way, what is a security checkpoint? Well, they're all over the Middle East. All over. Of course, the MSM focuses on the checkpoints in Israel, in which we have to investigate what the ancient ones are up to when they want to pass from one area to another. And they say they're constantly being humiliated. That's the purpose of the checkpoint. Well, I saw checkpoints all over the Middle East. 30 years ago, I was in Egypt. I saw checkpoints. I went through them. 25 years ago, I was in Yemen. I saw checkpoints. I went through them. This is normative behavior in the Middle East. The reality of the Arab world is that there is much homicidal violence, and always against the regime, which is never recognized as legitimate in any of these countries. In Libya, since Gaddafi met his just deserts, the Libyans have been fighting for control of the central government. These are tribesmen. It's the old tribal fighting known throughout Arab history. That anti-Jew fool Thomas L. Friedman of the anti-Jew New York Times trumpeted the dawning of a new era, the Arab Spring, because he is such an anti-Jew, he cannot see the Arabs clearly. The Arabs are tribal and violent and brutal and sadistic, and they have never learned to govern themselves democratically and peacefully. In the West, it's taken for granted that governments change hands peacefully at the ballot box. And when a leader dies unexpectedly in office, there's no squabble over who succeeds him. There are laws governing that. Versus Araby, where power changes hands commonly via assassination. Sadat was assassinated. Saddam Hussein had to be driven from office and hunted down, then hung by the neck. This is the way the invasion of Europe by Muslims, by the Europeans letting them in, is a sign of Europe's morbidity. Why are they doing this? One can foresee in the near future a Holland that is dominated by Muslims who democratically vote to install Sharia law and join the Islamic Cooperation Conference and become the 57th officially Muslim state. It's also a sign of morbidity in the United States, and especially among the non-observant Jews, that object to Donald Trump's desire to keep more Muslims from entering the country. That has angered them. They are protesting Trump's Islamophobia. Not surprisingly, Trump's desire to bar Muslims drew the ire of the ADL, that called it deeply offensive. When the ADL goes to bat for Islam, this monstrous form of anti-Semitism, the ADL ceases to be a Jewish defense organization, as they describe themselves, and become a cowardly narcissists for their inability to defend America from the menace of Islam, because that would be politically incorrect. What is correct is that all religions are of equal worth, and Judaism and Islam are both Abrahamic religions. You saw maybe how after the massacre in Istanbul yesterday, a female Turkish MP tweeted her wish that all the wounded Israelis die. Some of them are in great pain, evidently, for which she was fired from the party, Erdogan's party. But no doubt her wish is widespread in her country and culture, and among her billion-plus co-religionists. Thank you. Now, here's a story that is simultaneously upsetting and heartwarming. The exposure last week, Thursday night, on Israeli TV of a new video produced by the voluntary Adkan group of IDF veterans disgusted by the silence, breaking the silence, slanderers of Israeli soldiers just like them. This is the same Adkan group that caught an Israeli Jew ratting on Arabs to the PLO, who sold houses to Israelis, whom the PLO tortured and murdered. Well, last Thursday, Channel 2 showed video of Adkan plants working with, among the Breaking the Silence people, as the BTS people fished not for information on the alleged brutality of IDF soldiers, but operational intelligence useful to such as Hamas and Islamic Jihad in the Gaza zone. Plenty of politicians of all stripes here blurted out words like treason and espionage. Mainstream types. Significantly, too, the Jerusalem Post has yet to run one story about this outrage that appeared on Israeli TV. It appeared in Yediot and Israel Hayom. This is just another major blow to the traitors in Breaking the Silence, who masquerade as defenders of innocent Arabs abused by Israeli soldiers for no damn good reason, except one assumes the Jewish soldiers' innate sadism. Justice Ministress Ayelet Shaked used the word spying to describe what she saw, like everybody else watching that program. Former GS head Avi Dichter, a mainstream guy, also said that the material looks and sounds like espionage. Defense Minister Bogi Yaalon has ordered an investigation by the IDF. From the videos, it appears that Breaking the Silence is gathering military information that has nothing to do with any alleged abuse of the Ancient Ones. Nothing at all. Well, we should not be surprised. Like the BDS haters who claim to be working for the good of the Palestinians in the West Bank when what they really want to see is Israel is destroyed, God forbid, these Breaking the Silence types are also deceivers. They too want to see Israel destroyed. They're enemies of the State of Israel, and it's hardly the first time radical leftists have betrayed Israel to the Arabs. One could write a book about them. Not surprisingly, every Jewish traitor to Israel was a leftist. People of the same mold as Barack Obama, who has been waving the flag of Iran throughout his time in office, when Iran has been, since the demise of the Soviet Union, America's number one enemy. They de facto, if not de jure, Iran did, declared war on the United States in 1979 when they overran the U.S. Embassy compound and held 52 American personnel hostage for over a year. And by definition, in that period, they psychologically tortured them in their confinement, which I know to be true. They struck again the Iranians in 1983, killing more U.S. servicemen in one strike than not seen since the war in Vietnam, over 240. They bombed U.S. barracks in Saudi Arabia, killing more than a dozen. They bombed a U.S. Navy ship and killed another 17. And now it turns out that there was enough evidence in a real trial in the Southern District of New York to conclude, as the judge did, that Iran was involved in 9/11 as well. This has been alleged for years, and I think this may be the first time an official from the United States government confirms that truth, this federal judge. And here was Obama, just last week, in that Jeffrey Goldberg piece, telling the Saudis they must share leadership of the region with Iran. And let's not forget that within 5 months of becoming president in 2009, Obama responded to the government of Iran's theft and corruption, stealing the election in that country that led to mass demonstrations and death, to which Obama turned his back. He did not support the protesting masses against the regime, that lunatic Ayatollah's regime. Barack Obama is a traitor to the United States for his coddling of the enemy, enemy number one. Remember how last summer as well, during the Iran negotiations in Geneva, one respectable report in the MSM said that the U.S. was acting like an attorney for the defense for Iran against the other five powers in the room. Obama's a traitor to the United States, as I think these leftists in Israel are no less traitors, dissemblers, pretending to care for the victims of brutal Israeli soldiers when what they really want is Israel out of Judea and Samaria, which surely would mean the end of Israel, God forbid. I find it simply amazing that there's anyone left in Israel who still thinks retreat is the way to peace. It's amazing, in light of what happened over the last 10 years since the last piece of the Gaza Strip was evacuated and handed over to the enemy. Tens of thousands of projectiles fired at us. A series of major military incursions into Gaza. How anyone can think that a similar retreat from Judea and Samaria would end differently is beyond comprehension. But of course, they're still there, though I think Israel is slowly awakening from the Oslo delirium. Yair Lapid is moving right. Herzog has confessed the two-state nirvana is not attainable for the moment. Only I fear the Jerusalem Post has yet to wake up. On Friday, it has some good commentators, but its midweek choice of midday op-ed opinionators is terrible. One wimpy liberal and leftist still dreaming of a kumbaya relationship with the Arabs and Yosh. And of course, that has not happened is the fault of the right, of the government. The Post has not for 2 days now mentioned this latest scandal of breaking the silence, being exposed for the spies that they are, and therefore enemies. In truth, we should not be overly surprised. Every people has its traitors. Famous Cambridge spies in England in the 1930s, and recently in the States, Aldrich Ames and the Walkers, father and son. And there have been others. Every people has its turncoats, and Israel no less. And commonly, they always come from the left. You're listening to www.deprogramprogram.com, broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa. Last Thursday, the government press office went after Time magazine, as it did after The Guardian recently, remember? And pretty much for the same reason. In reporting on the knife intifada, the headlines in the MSM routinely described Jews killing ancient ones, but not the provocation by them, which is frequently an attempted maniacal murder of Jews. Last October 13, in one of the first horrors of the current wave, you may remember, two Arabs with guns boarded an Egged bus in Almona Nativ, that's a Jewish neighborhood in Jerusalem, that abuts an Arab one. The two murdered three Jews, three men, ages 51, 76, and 78, before being shot dead by the police. That is, one survived and the other and was arrested. The other was killed. And what was Time magazine's headline for that story in October? Quote, "The desperation driving young Palestinians to violence." All they said was that the murderer was a graphic designer killed by Israeli security forces after allegedly trying to carry out an attack in Jerusalem, close quote. Allegedly trying to carry out an attack? This sentence could convey the idea that maybe authorities aren't sure if there was an attack. He allegedly tried to carry out an attack, they don't know. In this formulation, we're not sure if he succeeded and there was an attack, and never mind that the three Jewish men were murdered by this beast. The government press office in Israel tried repeatedly since last October to get Time to rewrite that headline, and apparently only today did they do that. This is what we're up against. Melanie Phillips from London reports that the current wave of attacks are not even being reported in London at all. This is the face of anti-Semitism in the 21st century. It's the face of breaking the silence. It was reported by NGO Monitor that breaking the silence received from the New Israel Fund between 2008 and 2014 $699,310, in round numbers, $700,000, to betray Israel. Money sent by anti-Jew Jews in the United States who delude themselves into thinking that what they're doing is best for Israel. They know best. They live there, and they know better than we do. Now, like all leftists in our time, they're doing what is best for themselves. Being left once meant standing for the fantasy of a socialist society. Means of production would be owned by the people, the government, and there would be more economic equality, etc., no more rich and poor. Today, being a leftist means, domestically, being a supporter of sexual deviance, and in foreign affairs, kowtowing to the enemies of the West. In Obama's and Jeremy Corbyn's minds, the victims of the West. And as for leftists of Jewish extraction in the diaspora, like the millionaires who sustain the New Israel Fund, they've become a real menace to Israel. And there's a connection, I think, between the running story of the Reformed Jews here trying to win respect and these people in the New Israel Fund, their overlapping camps. I think the Prime Minister, Netanyahu, is making a big mistake by thinking he can placate the American Jewish left, the Reform, and the Conservative, when I think they're a lost cause. In truth, all these protests about the right to use the mikvaot and to wear tefillin and read the Torah among women at the wall are nothing but an exercise in their hostility to the Jewish people. If they were not hostile, they would not be presiding over the disappearance of the Jewish people via marrying out, which they do. Minister of Health Yaakov Litzman Haredi said last Friday that his party, United Torah Judaism, would not sit in a government that recognizes Reform and Conservative Judaism. And he specifically cited the marriage of Chelsea Clinton and that conservative Jew. Quote, he said, "There was a priest and a Reform rabbi there. This is not Judaism, God forbid. This is a forgery of Judaism, and we won't let them take control in the state," close quote. Maybe this is why the mixed multitude was called the mixed multitude, for wanting to mix what's Jewish with what is non-Jewish beliefs and behaviors. In every generation, as in the age of the Maccabees, there are Jews who want Jewish culture to be more like the surrounding Gentile culture, and here's a perfect example. These intellectually corrupt weddings, presided over by a rabbi and a Christian minister or priest, the mixing of the two cultures as of equal worth. No good. As I've said before, apart from having different beliefs and what is acceptable, is the intellectual corruption of pretending that Reform Judaism is Judaism. It's like the Oslo delirium, another product of de-Judaized Jews.
Paz, sentimiento universal, la luz que ilumina el mundo nos iluminará. La luz que ilumina el mundo nos iluminará. En el mundo la paz, gata de celidad, los gritos de mar de tos y de garaina y abadá. Nuestro Señor, que reine la paz, naciones mueren, ¿a dónde van? Sin amistad no existe unión, si no hay fe, no hay libertad. Las raíces de la sociedad, lo que es tuyo que sea tuyo, lo que es mío para ti será. Lo que es tuyo que sea tuyo, lo que es mío para ti será. En el mundo la paz, que la guerra muera ya, que vuele la paloma blanca, verdadera libertad. Vuele la paloma blanca, verdadera libertad. Nuestro Señor, que reine la paz, naciones mueren, ¿a dónde van? Sin amistad no existe unión, si no hay fe. Nuestro Señor, que reine la paz,
Okay, that's it for this Sunday night, and I'll be back, God willing, on Tuesday night. Until then, Laila Tov, Me'eretz Yisrael.